Take your Bibles, if you will. Let's look back at that wonderful little book of 1 Peter. I want to go back to chapter 1. 1 Peter, we're coming up on the Easter season. When a God that so loved the world gave us His only begotten Son. And He was willing to come to this earth and to live amongst people of this earth. And didn't live very long, approximately 33 years. If there's room there for a little debate, maybe, but. And then He went to a cross and He shed His blood. What can wash away my sin? Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're redeemed, folks, because there was a God in heaven who loved us till He sent His Son to shed His blood to become our sin covering. Think about that for a minute. Because without that blood, there is no remission of sin. And we're living in a day, and we're living in an age, when you hear very little about the blood. But we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you can join every church you might want to join. You can be baptized in the Mississippi River, as I like to say, up home, since it's a river that passes about 15 miles from our ministry. Until you know every fish by its first name. But you're going to split hell wide open unless you know the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Unless you know there's been a time in your life where you recognize you were a sinner. You couldn't save yourself. And in simple childlike faith, you reached out and you accepted what Jesus provided for you when He shed that blood on the cross over 2,000 years ago. We've been redeemed by the blood. And we need to recognize that, and we need to hear about that even more than oftentimes what we do at Easter time. And the sad part there is, even at Easter time, in the day and age in which we're living, there's very little mention of that precious blood that washes white as snow. As your soloist this morning was singing that song, if I'm not mistaken, that's another song that old Dr. Charlie Rigel wrote. He wrote, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus," and several other wonderful gospel songs. But there was a godly old man that lived to be 95. Back my now, what is that? That'd be 50 years ago plus. Sat in our home one afternoon having lunch with Ellie and I and our two little girls at that time. The boys hadn't come along yet. And I can remember Charlie sitting at the piano there with Sarah on one side and Lori on the other and playing the piano and singing to them some of the great old songs that he wrote. But old Dr. Weigel, he found out after pursuing a career that was not necessarily the career that God had chosen for him, but he found out that he had a God who loved him and a God who saved him. And he gave his life to the ministry. But here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, I want you to look with me at verse number 18. And we're going to read just a few verses. We'll read through verse number 21. We'll pray, and I want to bring a very simple message this morning. But a message that I believe is so vital and so necessary in the day and age. as I like to say, in which we're living. You've been sitting for quite a while. Would you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God out of respect for the Word of God? And in fact, that's something we maybe ought to do a little bit more of sometimes than what we do. We ought to respect the Scripture.
Amen.
And young people always remember that. Respect your Bible. Verse number 18, Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writes, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without the blemish and without spot, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Isn't that wonderful? I love those four verses of Scripture. I literally do. It's just absolutely amazing when you read what the Scripture is telling us there. Would you bow your heads with me and just pray with me for a moment? Father, it's a joy to be back at Blessed Hope, and God, to see what you're doing here. And Lord, I do pray for the moments we spend together this morning now. You'd allow the dear, sweet Holy Spirit of the living God to work in our hearts and work in our lives. Lord, we recognize, we realize without you, we can do nothing. And so we commit the service to you. We commit the message to you. And we ask that the Spirit of God would work in hearts and in lives today. And as he would work and as he would do and as he would move, God will give you the glory, will give you the praise for what you will do. For Lord, we can do nothing without you. We love you. We thank you for loving us, Lord. We thank you that you commended your love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So bless, we pray, our time together. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's three clear statements that I think we want to remind ourselves of when you read the little book of 1 Peter. And each one of those statements is a vital truth. I want you to look at chapter 2 with me, and I want you to look at verse 24. Because in verse 24, the Scripture says there, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Now what we find there in that verse of Scripture, I think we find a truth that we need to be more mindful of sometimes, beloved, than what we are, especially as we know Christ. Because when we know Christ, we then should realize and recognize the work of Christ in our lives. And when you read that verse of Scripture, what you're seeing God tell us is that you have a sacrifice, or a sacrificial, maybe I should say, nature of the death of Jesus Christ that is vital to you as a Christian. This is a gift that God gave, and this is something that Christ committed to, yielded to. He didn't have to do it, but he did do it. There's that sacrificial nature of his death. We sometimes forget that. We fail to realize what the salvation that we have found by faith in his finished work, what it cost God and cost our Savior.
Right.
It was sacrificial. I want you to go to chapter 3 and verse number 18 with me. And I want you to look at that verse for just a moment. Because verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." Now what is that verse telling us? It's telling us that the death of Christ was a substitutionary death. He committed to do this. He took our place, in other words. He became my substitute. And so when we found the Savior, what we did, we accepted what he provided for us when he shed that blood on the cross. So that when we go before the throne of God, God doesn't see our sin. He sees the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus, who's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for the child of God. That's why your church membership doesn't take you to heaven. Your baptism doesn't take you to heaven. Now, there's nothing wrong with church membership. Baptism is the first act of obedience for the child of God when the child of God finds Christ. When I accepted the Lord Jesus at the age of 20, August 17, 1952, I couldn't wait to get baptized. I couldn't wait to get back to church on Wednesday night. Now, when my sister came home about 18 months prior to that time, announcing that she had been saved and started introducing her brothers and sister to Christ and her mother and her father. And then she started telling my dad she was going to midweek service on Wednesday night. I thought, she's pulling the wool over Dad's eyes. There's no church on Wednesday night. I never heard of church on Wednesday night. But when I found that wonderful truth that God loved me and he sent his son to die for me, and in simple childlike faith that night in that evening service at Bird Road Baptist Church, I received that gift. I couldn't wait to get back to church on Wednesday. I wanted to be in church. I wanted to be there the next Sunday. I wanted to be there the next Wednesday. Why? Because it was a substitutionary death. God took my place. And he took your place. If you know him as Savior. We're redeemed by the blood. Don't forget that. This was a great gift that God gave us. And we're not our own, incidentally, as the scripture says. We've been bought with a price. You know what a Christian is, Pastor Jerry? A Christian is basically a slave. We're a slave of God. He redeemed us. He purchased us. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What we have in our pulpits today across this country, such weak preaching that we're producing a generation of weak Christians. It's tragic. It's heartbreaking. It's sad. When you stop and you think about it. And then you go over to 1 Peter chapter 18, or chapter 1, verse 18, which I read a few moments ago, and you look at what he says there in verse 18 and verse 19, and you read those two verses when he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot." What is he telling us there? He's telling us that this salvation that we have, there is a redemptive nature at that death. He redeemed us. He bought us. We need to realize when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he redeemed us. He redeemed us from this world, that sin nature that we all were bought with into this world because, again, of the sin of man. But by the shedding of his blood, by the shedding of the blood of Christ, he basically, what he did, he bought back that which had been temporarily forfeited by the sin nature that we all were born with, and we were all under the sin. Matter of fact, Paul speaks very clearly to it. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Let me show you that verse of scripture. In Romans chapter number 1, and look at verse number 17. Paul, here as he's writing to the saints at Rome, makes a statement that I think we need to really emphasize in the day in which we find ourselves living. Verse number 17, here's what he says. He says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Yes, sir. Right. How important and how vital that is. And when Jesus died to set us free from the bonds and the slavery, the bondage of sin. Because by nature, we were slaves to sin. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, think with me for just a minute. How many of you have a weekly class for your young child when they're bringing them up in your home, that you have a weekly class on how to disobey? My dad and mother didn't have to teach me how to disobey. My dad and mother didn't have to teach me how to lie. Hello? Are we awake? I had a sin nature. I was born with it. Matter of fact, you look at some of those little rascals we've got in our nursery back home. I'll tell you what. I think they're children of the devil from the time they... And the matter of fact, I got grandkids, little great-granddaughters. They're manipulators. Why, they roll their eyes, those little rascals. They'll give you that look. Of course, every wife has a look. You guys know what I'm talking about. I got the look. I don't mess with it either. You say, why? I like living. But no, hear me, beloved. Hear me, we need to recognize, we need to realize what we're talking about here this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the blood of Christ. Yes, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a God who loved us to where he finally bought us back when he sent his son to die for us. And we could go on and we could go on and we could go on. Because Jesus also, he also died to deliver us from a great danger. Because don't forget, by nature we face death. It is appointed unto man once to die. You're not going to get out of this world without dying unless Jesus comes and you go to be with him when he raptures his church, his bride. But every one of you sitting here will one day have a visit from the death angel. And let me say this to all you precious young guys and gals that are here today. Don't think for a minute. Don't think for a minute that you live to be an old man or an old lady. Because when you pastor a church for as long as I did, you'll bury teenagers. You will. You'll bury babies. I've stood at the grave many times with a grieving mother and father. And that's because of what we're talking about here in this very, very truth. There's a great danger. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're not going to escape that. Because by nature, we face death. And we face judgment. Matter of fact, over in John chapter 3, if you want to take your Bible and go over there and listen to this verse of Scripture and read it with me. But let me just read one verse of Scripture in John chapter 3. We all know John chapter 3:16, and we should know John chapter 3:16. Because it is a truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it's also a truth, beloved, that John 3:36 is true when it says, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God, notice those words if you will please, the wrath of God abideth on him. And the reason that wrath of God is not abiding on you and on me here today, as we know Christ, he has paid the price. He's paid the penalty. And how vital and how important it is we remember that. So when we think of this matter of redeemed by the blood, I want to just give you a couple of thoughts and then we'll close. And we're going to have lunch with the old folks. Boy, when you say old folks, I qualify for that. Matter of fact, there's young folks back in Rosemont now. One of the little guys said, here not, oh, maybe years ago, but he has an older brother, and he told me, he said, preacher, he said, my brother said you're old as dirt. Is that true? I couldn't wait to get a hold of this brother. But let's just think about this for just a few moments. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. Because when you read this scripture, when you look at, for instance, look at verse number 20 with me here in 1 Peter. Let's go back to 1 Peter. When you read verse number 20 and notice what he is saying there. I think you can understand and you can recognize and realize what I'm going to say here, because he says in verse number 20, he says, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but there's that little glorified conjunction, was manifest in these last times for you. What that's telling me, there's a plan of your redemption. In God's eternity, according to this verse of Scripture, God planned for our redemption. True. It didn't come about through the process, you know, of osmosis. The redeeming work here of the Lord Jesus Christ was active. It was after, not after a thought, but it was a plan that God had for your life and for my life. Now, why did God save me? I have a brother who's 6 years younger than I am. He's not a Christian. He's not saved. All the other children have been saved. But I have a brother who's not saved. Now, what did God see in me that he, at least until this point, hasn't seen in him? Well, it's not that God hasn't seen it in him. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The problem is, he hasn't seen. Right. He refuses to say and to believe what God says he needs to do. That's it. See, we're not robots. Right. That's right. We have a volition. We make decisions. And God says, I want you to know, I plan. I'm not willing that you should die and go to hell. I'm willing that you should accept my Son and go to heaven. But the decision is yours. It's God's plan. And that's why he gave us the Bible. That's where the plan is. It's in the Word of God. And one of the great needs that I believe we have in our churches today is that God's people need to remind themselves and recognize and realize that John 3:16 is just more than a verse of scripture that you'll see hanging in a ballpark someplace on your TV set. John 3:16 is God's message to a world that he loves them and wants them to find Jesus as their Savior. He said, "Woman, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That wonderful verse that Paul pens to the saints at Rome in Romans 5:8, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And if you're sitting here today and you've never accepted Christ yet, beloved, believe me, know, understand, God has already paid the price of your sin if you'll just accept his plan. That's what it's all about. And then as you study your scripture here, you'll see the purpose of your redemption. God has or does have an objective in why he is doing this. See, when I accepted Christ as Savior, 62 years ago now, I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. When the bride and I got married in 1954, she didn't know she was going to be a preacher's wife. But God had a plan. And as we walk with the Lord and live for the Lord day by day, was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, serve active in the church. We had a youth choir of 45 young people. We were busy serving, visiting, soul winning, singing in the choir, all of that. But that was all God's plan. And then we're sitting there in a missions conference in 1960 at our church, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God starts working in our hearts about the Lord's work. And all of a sudden, I'm walking down an aisle with my pride, and we're yielding our lives to God to do what he wants us to do. You say, "Well, what does he want you to do?" I don't know. I just know God wants me to yield to him. We're sitting in Grandma's kitchen on Mother's Day, 1960. My dad is there. My mother is there. Ellie's there, I'm there, and the two girls, and we've now added our first son. And I announced to my dad and to my mother that God is leading me to leave Southern Bell. I'm going to college to prepare for some kind of ministry. I didn't know what it was. Matter of fact, I might not have done it if I knew I was going to be spending 35 years in Minnesota. That certainly wasn't in my plan. I was a Florida boy. And the only snow we had down there was what we saw on the TV. But when I announced that to my dad, he stands up at his table. Now, my dad's a quiet guy. But he stands up at the table and he says, "Son, you can't do that. You're married. You got a family. How are you going to live?" Now, he hadn't accepted Christ at that time. Well, I didn't know how I was going to do it either, but I just knew God wanted me to do it. Because again, there's a purpose why God redeemed us. For every one of you that sit here this morning, God has a purpose why he redeemed you. He's got a purpose. You young people, you might not know what God wants you to do today, but God does have a purpose in what he wants you to do. And we need to recognize and we need to understand. If we are And if he has, which he has, redeemed us from eternal death and from Satan's grip, there are all kind of truths that we need to recognize that he has brought into our lives already. But there is this purpose of your redemption.
Yes, sir. There is.
And then I see another truth here in verse 18 and verse 19 that I do believe we find in relationship to the precious blood. Because when I see those words, the precious blood, I automatically see what God is saying in his Bible here is that there's a price that he paid for our redemption. Yes, there's a plan for our redemption. Yes, there's a purpose for our redemption, but there's also a price for our redemption. I alluded to it a while ago. We are not our own. We have been purchased. We have been bought. Matter of fact, when I made that statement a little bit a while ago, there were some of you, I saw your eyes light up. When I said to Pastor Jerry, you know what we are? We're basically slaves. I saw some of you. You didn't necessarily like that statement. But if you're not your own, you've been bought with a price, then what are you? The way a slave was really brought into a family was he was purchased. He didn't do, or she didn't do, what she wanted to do. She did what the people did or wanted to do that purchased them. Hello. And when I see those words there, when I see those words, the precious blood, I see the price of our redemption, that God was willing to send his son to shed his blood on a cross for our redemption. And we are people redeemed only by faith in the precious blood of Christ. There's no other way you or I are going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you're a good person. You're not going to heaven because you're a white Caucasian or you're a black African. You're going to heaven because you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's the only way we go to heaven. We're not going to heaven because we're Baptists. We're not going to heaven because we're Methodists. We're not going to heaven because we're Presbyterians. We're not going to heaven because we're Buddhists. We're not going to heaven because we're Roman Catholic. We're going to heaven because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Period. End of report. That's it. And that, incidentally, is not Johnsonology, that's Bibliology. Because that's exactly what the Bible is saying. And then I saw this last truth that I'll give you in those last two verses that we read. Because verse 20 and verse 21, if you'll look at those verses again, you'll see that there's proof of your redemption. How do we know all of this is true, that we're really redeemed? Well, look at what he says. I mean, this is the Bible. This is the infallible word of God. Look at, read if you will. Verse number 20. Who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. There it is, the proof of your redemption. And when you look at those words that I read there in those two verses of Scripture, notice there's basically a threefold proof that the work of redemption is complete. Because look here, he says in verse 20, in the latter part there of verse number 20, he says, but was manifest in these last times for you. What is he talking about there? He's talking about historical proof. When you look and you see what he says there in verse number 21, there's factual proof. who him by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. There's factual proof. And when you see what he's also saying in verse number 21, you could actually say there as another truth, there's experimental truth. Look at those first five words when he says, who by him do believe? That is experimental proof. In other words, how do I know I'm saved? The reason I know I'm saved, because when I heard the word of God preached and he opened up an invitation for me to come and receive Christ as my Savior, and I walked down that aisle and I opened my heart and I said, yes, I want to accept that gift, God, that you have provided for me, the shed blood of your Son, my Savior now, the Lord Jesus, and I experience what God said I will experience when I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Mom said to me, oh, maybe 3-4 months after I had accepted Christ. She said, Eddie, she says, listen, well, where's Jack Foster at? Man, I haven't seen Joe. Where's Tommy Morris at? Jack and Tommy, they're always here. And she started mentioning these things. Well, you see, what happened was I accepted Christ. And word started going around Southwest Miami. Johnny got religion. No. Johnny didn't get religion. Johnny got Jesus. I experienced a new birth. I became a new creature. Oh, far from perfect. Far from perfect. But oh, I'll tell you what, every single time sin came into my life, God, I mean, he slapped me in the side of the head so hard, my ears rang. You're hanging on a telephone pole 60 feet in the air, and you hit your thumb with a 4-pound lineman hammer. You're not prone to say, praise God, when you've been saved 4 years or 4 months. I don't think I need to say anymore. What had happened? I found a truth that a preacher preached in the Bible. I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and I found the gift that God provided for me. That was it. Job said this. Over 3,400 years ago now. But I believe it's still true. It's still true today. Because he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I can honestly say in my heart today, stage 4 cancer, all the rest of it, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I trust you can too. And if you can't, shame on me. Shame on me if I didn't give you an opportunity this morning to step out of your place when we have our hymn of invitation and give you an opportunity to come to know the wonderful Lamb of God that I came to know 62 years ago. Would you bow your heads with me for prayer?